know this feeling? One of the worst things that I do when I'm sick is be nauseated. I hate that worth anything else. And Bev would say, why do you fight it? Because don't you feel better after? Yeah, you feel better after, but that feeling just before you actually throw up is one of the worst feelings. We call that nausea. There's a number of causes to nausea. Can any of you think of one? Oh, you think of a reason. How about what are? Oh, get rid of that bacteria. So pregnancy, right? So, what's that? Seasickness, okay? Seasickness, motion sickness, car sickness, food poisoning. Okay, medications, different drugs, chemotherapy. Those have gone through cancer treatment and things like that. It is one of the worst. How about a head injury? It's one of the signs of appendicitis, right? Nausea, vomiting, but not always. meningitis, migraines. Who gets migraines and gets nausea with migraines? Yeah. So, how about this? Stress, anxiety, grief. Yes, smell. Our message this morning is about the extreme nausea of Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come to your word this morning and consider the passages and scriptures, we just ask, Father, that your spirit would be here. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. So we've been looking at the last 2 weeks, the final appeal of the true witness. We've been looking at the message to the Laodicean church, and some of the things that we said 2 weeks ago, one of the things is the destiny of the church actually hangs on this message. And that was to establish, if the destiny of the church hangs on this message, this is a pretty important message. We should really pay attention to it. And we should really understand it. So we're taking a few weeks to do that. Last week, we talked about Revelation 3, verse 14, which is the very first passage about the one giving the message and to who the message is to. The message is to the messenger or the angel of the church. It's to leadership and therefore to be also passed down to the rest of the congregation. It's a message to everybody in the church, and it's a message that comes from Jesus. In your Bibles, if it's red letters, those are all red letter words there in the book of Revelation chapter 3. And he takes the title, and for each church of the seven churches, he names a title or a specific aspect of Jesus that's necessary for this message. So last week it said he was the true witness. And the reason is because the message he's coming to bring isn't one that is really easy to receive. He's coming to give some hard truths, and you have to know and believe that the one is giving you is giving them is telling you the truth. And then also, he is the source of creation, and that is the one who is bringing you and showing, bringing this church its this message and showing, revealing this problem that's going to be hard to hear. He is the one that has the solution as well. Not only is he the beginning, the source of creation, he is the source of recreation. And we talked that in our Sabbath school lesson this morning. You have to know that the one who's bringing you this hard news really cares about you and has the solution for you. And so now we're going to today look at our passage, which is the next two verses in this message, and we'll just kind of breaking it down. So in the message here, Revelation 3, verse 14, from the true witness to the angel of the church of Laodicea, from the source of creation, the beginning of creation, to the angel of the church of Laodicea, he says this, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot, and I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will, and in the Greek the word is mellow, which means I am about to vomit you out of my mouth, spit you out. It's about to come up. He's basically saying, it is bringing such nausea to me. And I thought about this, and it's like, okay, so what is his source of nausea? Well, it's because they're lukewarm, but of the things we said, he's not pregnant. He doesn't have viral gastroenteritis. He doesn't have appendicitis. You know, what is it that is driving this physical description that's happening in his inner soul that is driving this point of this extreme nausea? And I think of grief. I think of loss, the profound loss that he is feeling. And we will touch more on this. But what does it mean I'm about to spew you out of my mouth? In volume 6 of the Testimonies, it says this: to those who are indifferent at this time, Christ's warning is, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Revelation 3:16. The figure of spewing out of his mouth means that he cannot offer up your prayers or expressions of love to God. He cannot endorse your teaching of his word or your spiritual work in any wise. He cannot present your religious exercises with the request that grace be given to you. Okay, does this seem serious? Serious. So serious that what's happening is just driving this inner gut feeling on Jesus, who, by the way, it says later in the passage, is standing at the door and knocking. And so I want to look at this morning. What is it that he sees? Well, he knows your works. This is about works. And so being cold or hot or lukewarm is describing the works. What is the spiritual outpouring, the spiritual aspect of this church, this end time church? And so let's look at this and think about what are cold works first. So he says you'd rather you be cold, you're not hot, but you're lukewarm. So what are cold works? What are hot works? What are lukewarm works? What does he describe? It just so happens, so when you're looking at the Bible and you're looking at prophecy, you have to get your understanding of this not from necessarily from your experiences and what things are now, but what the Bible itself teaches these things are. Isn't that how we understand Bible principles and Bible prophetic teaching? We look at the symbols and the Bible itself explains it. And so it's not by coincidence that in the New Testament, Paul, in the Gospel writers, he describes three types of works. He describes works of the flesh, works of faith, and works of the law. Those are the three he breaks down. So, when Jesus is saying it's cold, your cold works, and he's speaking of cold works, he's talking about works of the flesh. The things that we do by nature that come out. It's actual sin. We think of passages like in Romans, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin, speaking of our hearts. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, and he says in Galatians, works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentiousness, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And he describes some of these things that may be foreign to our experience, but I think we all can have experienced and manifest selfish ambitions, and perhaps in many ways hatred, contentions, jealousy. So these are the actual workings of works of the flesh, which my proposal to you is this is what Jesus means when he says cold works. I would that you would be cold. And in Romans 7, verse 8, I know that in me, that is my flesh, nothing good dwells. Romans 7, 8. Or there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Romans, Paul points these pictures, and we're laying these passages out and kind of grouping together, and they weren't meant to be grouped together, actually. There's other things that come after that, but the point is that in the New Testament, there is described these works of the flesh, which would correspond to cold works. Jesus got it when he said, and he associated it with temperature. In speaking of the last days in Matthew 24, verse 12, he says, and because lawlessness will abound and the love of many will wax cold. So there is kind of the biblical connection between when Jesus says, you're not cold, you're not hot, but you're lukewarm. So those would be cold works. Well, then what would be hot works? That would be the opposite, right? The opposite of cold is hot. And so hot works, we can think of passages like this. So hot works would be works that are works of faith, works of the Spirit working through our hearts. And in Galatians 5, verse 16, Paul says, and I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in these hot works. Walk in works of faith. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's those cold things. You won't fulfill those things. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. They're contrary. And the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary to one another. Here is these opposing forces of cold manifestations, cold works, just working just of my own natural self, and the Spirit working in us. In John 14, Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do. Now, before we finish this verse, what works did Jesus do? Did he do cold works, hot works, or lukewarm works? Okay, hot works. So we're all in the same passage. You guys get it. So the works that I do, hot works, he will do also. And he even says this, and greater works than these he will do. So whatever hot works Jesus did and however great they were, he's saying they will be greater because I go to my Father. And he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage I go away, I go to my Father. For if I do not go away, the Helper cannot come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Here, the hot works are the works of faith, the works in depending on the Spirit of God to live and move within our hearts and life. And this is the hot works. And is Jesus calling the Laodicean church to do cold works? Yeah, this is what he would want, right? This is what he's calling them to. And here's another verse, Galatians 2, verse 20 on hard works. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul said. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God. Some versions will say the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is about the inworking of the Spirit of God that takes over in place of those things, so that the natural things of the heart, the natural ways we go, don't have sway. They no longer rule in our life by virtue of the Spirit that is there. And so that is the hot works, is works of righteousness, completely receiving God, whereas the cold works are sin and selfishness and outright rejection of God. Here is, how many of you understand the benefit of hot and cold showers for your immune system? Have any of you done that during COVID, contrast showers? Good for you. I'm really happy I can't do that. It's so painful. But, okay, so here is hot and cold contrast in Romans 8, 9, and 11. Hot and cold works contrasted. But you are not in the flesh, hot, cold words, but in the Spirit, Paul speaking in Romans 8. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, does the Spirit of God dwell in you? If he does, you are in the Spirit. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is what? He's cold, or maybe lukewarm. He is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Remember, now what is that phrase? Remember in Galatians? It is not I, but Christ lives. I have been crucified with Christ. That's what it's talking about. That's basically, I have been crucified with Christ. The body is dead. Myself, my own sinful part of me has died. And it says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Notice this is really important. It's not really the subject of today, but notice it says, I'm going to give life to your mortal bodies. That means I'm going to give you life by the Spirit today, not sometime in the future. It's right now I give life to you. Not just when your body has put on immortality, but right now where you are, this new life has come to you in Christ. Super important, that verse. Okay, so cold, hot, and now what is lukewarm works? Now, first of all, let's think about this. The temperature of this church is not on again, off again. It's not your works are hot and cold. Now, you might think that that's what he's saying because hot and cold kind of make lukewarm. It's not like sometimes you're hot and sometimes you're cold. It's like you're not hot and you're not cold. You are lukewarm. This is a continuous running temperature that is there. It's a constant flow. And so what does this represent in the Bible? Well, it represents that third work, not work of the flesh, not work of faith or of the Spirit, but a work of the law. And this is what Paul often addresses and speaks to in his Gospels in the work of the law. Now, hang with me because I want you to understand what that means. So here's an example. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Or in Galatians 2, this could also be, but by the faith of Jesus Christ in Galatians 2:16. Galatians 3:10, for as many of you are of the works of the law, are under the curse. So right here, we know that in Scripture, in the New Testament, when Paul is talking about works of the law, he's not talking about a good thing. He's talking about this is not a good situation. As Jesus spoke of, and the lukewarm situation is not a good situation. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not, and this is why the works of the law are a curse. Because cursed is everyone who does not continue in some things, right? No, in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Because the works of the law were not something that could yield consistent, persistent results. Philippians 3, verse 9, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that which is from God by faith. And here contrasting, again, the works of the law with the works of faith. And that's what Paul was causing them to. So the lukewarm works represent works of the law, a self-righteousness that is an attempt to obey the law in your own strength. It's working in your own resources and not relying completely on that which heaven has given for us to have. And so, it can look pretty good. It can be doing all the right things. place. But it is one that is generated in my own resources. It is one that is actually rejecting the resource that he has given. And I think this is one of the main reasons that it brings nausea to him. For when you love someone with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul as he loves us, and that person gives themselves to another, how does that make you feel? I mean, it brings nausea. It brings extreme nausea as it brought to Christ. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul makes this: lukewarm works, this self-righteousness that comes, this is doing religious things in our own sort, our own power and our own resources. In Galatians 6, verse 12, Paul uses the phrase, making a good showing in the flesh. We can make a good showing. When the true witness is appealing to Laodicea and he says, I know your works. It's not like, I know you have so many hospitals in this great healthcare system. It's not, I know you have this great educational system and all these elementary schools and academies and colleges throughout the world. I know you have all these missions. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the spiritual condition of the church at this time. Those things could simply be a good showing in the flesh. Now, you can't always tell by looking, right? I can't tell why you do something, and I can't tell why you're doing something for God or why you're doing something for God, but God can tell. And the Laodicean message isn't given for us to look at each other, but it is given for us to examine ourselves. And he's the one that's giving this report. None of us could ever give the report. Can you imagine? Yes, I'm going to make up my own report of the McKinleyville Church. And I mean, I how would I know? But he knows. And this is the report he's giving to this end time church. Obviously, in the lukewarm condition, it's obviously not the Holy Spirit at work. It is the individual self. So the flesh is the source of the work that's being done. The works may be, on the outside, resemble everything that the Holy Spirit might have you do. Go to church on Sabbath. Pay your tithe. Be honest. Not lie. All of those things could look exactly the same outwardly, but inwardly there's a huge difference, and ultimately outwardly there is a difference. Lukewarm is the flesh, our own resources, imitating the Spirit's work. And at best, it's a cheap imitation. Because how well does that really actually work? The question isn't to Laodicea, are you keeping the right day? The question to Laodicea is, in your Sabbath keeping, is it a work of faith? Or is it a work of the law? Is it a work generated by the Holy Spirit transforming your heart? As Young was bringing out in Sabbath school this morning about the law being written on our hearts. From the inside out, as opposed from the outside in. Jesus spoke of the Pharisees of his time about being looking good on the outside, right? Whitewashed tombs, so they looked very white and pure, but on the inside were dead man's bones. This is it. This is the lukewarm condition. In Steps to Christ, awesome book to give out, says this: there are those who profess to serve God while they rely upon their own efforts to obey his law. It's our own efforts to do those things. We're relying on our own strength to form a right character and secure salvation. Their hearts are not moved by any deep sense of the love of Christ, but they seek to perform the duties of the Christian life as that which God requires of them in order to gain heaven. Such religion is worth nothing. It's worth nothing. And this is what Jesus is seeing as he looks at this end time church. But this may seem as it may come as a shock to you, though, that Jesus would rather you be outright sinful than to be lukewarm. Now that's really weird, isn't it? Guys, I expect the church to be completely empty next week. No, I don't. But think about it. He would rather us be doing works of the flesh, cold works. At least we're not misrepresenting his works as something less than they really are. And think of this. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, Jesus tells the Pharisees, speaking to them, "The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it." You say, when you guys here, you leaders, you Jews, you this Jewish nation here at this time, when I'm here, when it comes up in the judgment and there's Nineveh, the Ninevites, and there's the Jewish nation, you will be condemned by virtue of them because they what? They repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment against them. Can you imagine what they were thinking? What was Nineveh's problem? Were their works cold, hot, or lukewarm? Yeah, so they were cold. The Ninevites were cold. They had cold works. And this is why Jesus says, look, because I can send a prophet in and I could show you and march around for 40 days when you're just behaving like this, and I could convert you. But there's something about your condition, lukewarm, and you folks here, Pharisees, that is hardened and hard to get through and to see. When Jesus gave his assessment to the Pharisees, they felt insulted and rejected him. They were blind to their condition because the works they were doing looked so good on the outside, and these works came from the flesh. But they looked good. And here is Laodicea's problem. Doing all the right things in their own strength, and sometimes for the wrong reasons. Outside, at times, can look very good. But inside, what did he find in Israel? Found dead man's bones. And that's what he sees. But why, Jesus? Why does this make you so sick? I mean, the church is doing the best they can, the best they know how. If your child was trying their best to please you the best way that they know how, does that make you sick or does that make you happy? Yeah, it makes you happy when your child is doing the best they know how. So why, Jesus, are you so sick? So extremely nauseated at this situation? I believe it's because of the profound loss of the one he loves so much. Because in their own righteousness, they're ultimately rejecting him and choosing another. That other source of power could be themselves or some other thing they want to turn their heart to. But ultimately, it's rejecting him and the source of strength and the source of salvation that he has for them. And he knows that it is only with him that the imputed righteousness or justification of Christ and the imparted righteousness or sanctification of Christ. It is only with his imputed and imparted righteousness as a whole of Christ alone will they live. And the thought of loss of you and me It literally makes him sick at the thought. So the appeal today is this. Will you recognize the diagnosis of the true witness to be, and that his diagnosis is honest, faithful, and true? And consider not the works of others, but your own works, and allow him who loves you more than his own life to show you. Will you ask him to lay your works, your sincerity, your faithfulness, to lay it bare for what it is, to allow him to see us, to allow us to see ourselves as he sees us? Will you allow him, will you be willing when he does that to relinquish all your own attempts at keeping the works of the Spirit, from doing all what are good things, relinquish the attempts of doing it in your own strength, and admit that without him you can do absolutely nothing? Will you invite him into your heart anew now to create in you that new heart that David prayed for? Is that your desire this morning? Amen. It's my desire as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you love us to the point that you would be so honest. It's hard to be honest with someone you love when you know the words that you have are going to be hard to hear. And Father, our tendency is to hear these words, we've heard them before, and to say, yes, I acknowledge them. But there's a difference between acknowledging them and letting them peel open our hearts. So, Father, as a church now, as individuals, and as your church here in McKinleyville, we want to give you permission to open our hearts. Give us the ability to see what you see so we can allow the remedy to come. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.